I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And as you're turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, someone sent me a cute little story. In some aspect, it's humorous, but in another aspect, I hope it never comes true. And as I read, I'm sure that you'll quickly put it together why I hope it never comes true. I love you, folks. There was a feud between the pastor and the choir director of the Hicksville Southern Baptist Church. It seems the first hint of trouble came when the pastor preached on dedicating yourselves to service, and the choir director chose to sing, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Trying to believe it was coincidence, the pastor put the incident behind him. The next Sunday, he preached on giving. And afterwards, the choir squirmed as a director led them in the hymn, "Jesus Paid It All." By this time, the pastor was losing his temper. Sunday morning attendance swelled as the tension between the two built. A large crowd showed up the next week to hear his sermon on the sin of gossiping. Would you believe the choir director selected the song, "I Love to Tell the Story"? There was no turning back, and the following Sunday, the pastor told the congregation that unless something changed, he was considering resignation. The entire church gasped when the choir director led them in, "Why Not Tonight?" Truthfully, no one was surprised when the pastor resigned a week later, explaining that Jesus had led him there and Jesus was leading him away. To which the choir director could not resist, and they sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." I thought it was humorous, but Bill, I hope it never comes true. I thought that was cute. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll read down to verse 7. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which also ye suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us." We're going to pause right there and pray. And Father in heaven, we come before you now, and as we switch modes, it is good to laugh, to have a little joke. It is good for thy people as a family, Lord, for us to enjoy company and to laugh a little bit. It is a serious world out there. Help us to learn to laugh a little bit. But Lord, also help us to take things serious when it's time to be serious. And now, Lord, it is time to be serious. So we pray and ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for this time. Again, we thank you for the rain. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word and the gospel with a few people this week. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in some way an encouragement to the Rouse family and to the Harris family. And I pray, Lord, that we have been able to be that, and we'll be able to continue to be that. And we thank you, Lord, today for your blessing of life and breath for this moment. Strengthen us and encourage us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The title simply of my message this morning is, "To You Who Are Troubled, Rest." To you who are troubled, rest. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, if you go down to verse 7, we read this. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And then verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And I simply read that passage of Scripture so that we might understand that God has rest for his people. And we walk through life sometimes, and even though we may be saved, we go through life, and the Christian walk is such a burden, as in a travail. And mind you, if we're going to be Christians and take a stand for Jesus Christ, it is going to be hard work. It is going to be laborious. But God has still promised to those who name the name of Jesus Christ a rest. But the problem is, sometimes we don't enter into that rest because we fail to take God at his promise. I understand that some of us, we go through difficulties. We go through trials. And in fact, I said to Wayne this week, as I was trying in some way to comfort him, I have not had a triple bypass. I don't know what it's like to have my heart taken and fixed. I don't know what it's like to have my rib cage cut and split open and then put back together and then try to recuperate. But it is my job as a minister in my ministry to try to go down and somehow comfort him and console him and try not to trip over words. How do you comfort someone like that? And I just try to the best of my ability to share what God has laid upon my heart, share something that will be of some kind of comfort, and hopefully that he will be able to find some kind of rest. Because why? Because I know that God has promised us a rest. And folks, listen to me. Although it would probably help me better minister to some people if I went through every difficulty and problem that people go through. The simple fact of the matter is I haven't. But I know this, God promises us a rest. And I know from our text this morning, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to the Thessalonian believer says, to those who are troubled, rest with us. And God wants to encourage our hearts today that he has a rest for us. If you're struggling with difficulties, and listen to me, maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. I know on the outside, we get dressed up. And we look pretty fine and we look pretty good. We put on our clothes and we do up our hair and we brush our tooth, or, you know, we pull our teeth out of a glove. We do all kinds of things to make it on the outside appear like we're in pretty good shape. Mr. Seeley, I went with Mr. Seeley back a few years ago when I was in Bible school. He had an evangelistic service in Fielding, New Brunswick, just about 20 minutes from the Bible school. And he preached on the outside, we are whited sepulchers. We look pretty good, but on the inside we're full of dead man's bones. And he preached his message on appearances on the outside are not necessarily what's on the inside. And when he preached, he looked good. I'm going to tell you, he had a nice pressed jacket and double-breasted. He had it all buttoned up. His pants were nice and pleated. He looked pretty good on the outside. But then by the end of his message, he started preaching on the outside you look good, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones. He took off his jacket. And when he took off his jacket, his tie was cut all in zigzags here. He took off his shirt. His sleeves were all cut and torn and ripped in strips. And then he took his jacket off and turned around. And when he turned around, his shirt was ripped to shreds right up the back of his shirt. The moment he took his shirt off, he was a mess. But we're pretty good at, I believe, fixing up, putting a coat of paint on something to make it look good. But on the inside, if you're not saved, I know you're troubled. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not living for Jesus Christ. Maybe you know you should be. But on the inside, there's turmoil. Because you're out of fellowship with God, and you're struggling. And there's turmoil in your soul. Well, God says to you today, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Here in this epistle, they are both written to a people who were troubled. Verse 4 says this, so that we ourselves glory in the church, in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulation that ye endure. In fact, if you study the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, they're dealing with people who, first off the bat, one book they thought that they had were going to go through the tribulation period, and the next book thought that they had missed the rapture. And these people were going through difficulties. They were going through so much persecution and difficulty. And Paul finishes off the book of 1 Thessalonians and says this, rejoice evermore. And if you study the context in which he says it, and he's saying this to a people who were going through tribulation. They were going through testing, trial. In fact, they were going through so much tribulation, they thought they were in the middle of the tribulation period and had missed the rapture. This was not light affliction. That's why in 1 Thessalonians, I believe, God, it says this, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation. These folks were under tribulation. And then Paul says, look, to you who are troubled, rest with us. I want you to notice simply in this passage of Scripture, the address. Paul simply addresses it. To you who are troubled, rest. The address is to you who are troubled. This church was troubled. The people individually were troubled. Everything they did, there was trouble, trouble, trouble. Do you ever feel like that some days? May I suggest to you, you want a good remedy to cheer your heart up? Go down and visit floor 3 in St. John Regional Hospital. Go down and visit the ICU unit. You'll have a new outlook on life. And folks, listen to me. We go through turmoil every day, and anyone who says that the Christian life is a bowl of cherries hasn't been saved very long or just blind. Because we know that it is trouble. In fact, turn with me, please, to Job chapter 5. The book of Job. The book of Job. If you've been listening to the radio broadcast, I have been sharing a lot about from the book of Job. I've been learning a lot. I truly have. This book that we hold in our hands, the Word of God, is so intricate. It's amazing the arguments that the Word of God has deflated before the arguments were ever thought of. Read the book of Job. Wonderful science in the book of Job. God is so good. In the book of Job chapter 5, verse 7, Job said this, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We're going to have trouble. If you're breathing, you're going to have trouble. And so the address is to you who are troubled. That's who he's talking to. Every one of us is going to have trouble some point or another. If you haven't experienced it yet, wait a couple of days. The weather will change. To you who are troubled, the church was troubled. The people were individually troubled. Man is born unto trouble. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 88. In Psalm 88, beginning to read in verse 1, we read this. O Lord God of my salvation. I want to stop there. We're going to talk about it at the end of the message. Is the Lord God the God of your salvation? What are you trusting in to save you today? Anything else? Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I didn't write it, I just preach it. Is he the Lord God of your salvation today? Quick question. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of what? Troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Life is full of troubles. And anyone who says that it is not hasn't lived very long. Life is full of troubles. If you go over to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119 verse, I believe it is verse 143. Psalm 119 verse 43. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me. Yet thy commandments are my delights. And of course, a verse I've been sharing the last little while, if you go to Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I was thinking this week. I actually went through a series of three messages to preach today. I was going to preach on, because last Sunday I preached on one thing thou lackest, on Jesus speaking to this man who had all kinds of things, but he lacked repentance of sin, and therefore he lacked salvation, because he was a pretty good person. He didn't want to acknowledge the fact he needed a Savior, that he was a sinner, and so he walked away upset, unsaved. And I was going to speak this morning on, I'm up to a list now of 10 things the church is lacking today. To this unsaved man, he said, one thing thou lackest. And so I started preaching a message, or started preparing a message on what's the church lacking today. And I'm up to 10. So I figured I'll wait a little bit longer. But I thought, this is a day to receive people into membership. I don't want to talk about that today. And then there's been so many things this week. I started talking, I had a message on the comfort of the scriptures, the comfort of the Savior, the comfort of salvation, and the comfort of the saints. There's my outline. You'll get it, the message someday. I was going to preach on that. Lord said, no, I don't want you preaching that either. Okay, Lord, I'm running out of time. And he reminded me of, to you who are troubled, rest. So I'm trusting this is the message God wanted me to share today. We are filled with troubles and difficulties. And this week, we've been trying to minister to people who have been hurting. And God addresses to them. Jeremiah chapter, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 15. In Jeremiah 8, verse 15, we read this. We looked for peace, but no good came. Feel like that? And for a time of health. And behold, trouble. Trouble is everywhere. We don't have to look for it. It comes to us perfectly gift-wrapped, meant just for us. And so the address in this passage of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 is this. It's simply this. He's addressing it to you who are troubled. And that's every one of us. In fact, we're told in the Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 33, we read this just real quickly. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have life. In the world ye... Now, this is a promise. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But then the last part of the verse also ties in with 2 Thessalonians 1, 7. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. to you who are troubled. He's addressing it. That applies to each and every one of us, and that's personal. That's you, that's me as individuals, not as a group, individuals. Are you troubled today? Well, then Paul makes an appeal here. He gives an address to you who are troubled, then he makes an appeal. Rest. So many times throughout the scripture. In fact, we read it in Hebrews chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 4. God has a rest for you, folks, and God has a rest for me. In fact, Jesus says, if any of you labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. These are the promises of God. And so Paul gives an address to us this morning, to you who are troubled, and he makes an appeal. Come rest. And all I want to say is this. Are you looking for some place to just get out of the storm? To get away from the difficulties? Do you know what Paul is saying to us today? He's appealing to us, come rest. That's what God wants for you, and that's what God wants for me. Now, it's not saying that life isn't going to be easy, but it is saying this, God promises rest. And Paul makes an appeal to those who are troubled, come rest with us. Well, real quickly, some aspects of this rest. We have the address to you who are troubled, and then he gives us an appeal, rest with us. Well, let's look at an aspect of this rest. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, we read this. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. There's a rest for the people of God today. God promises us rest. And just real quickly, aspects of rest. And we're going to go through this real quickly. If you can't keep up with me, you sit back and listen, please. It's more important. You listen, write these verses down, and go home and read them for yourself. Aspects of rest, real quickly, because I want to let you out of here before 1 o'clock. Isaiah 60, I say that one too much. I'm going to find a new line. Whose line is it anyways? I don't know, but I'll find another one. Isaiah 63, verse 14. As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. There's a rest from the Holy Spirit of God today. And the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your life. And all I know is this, I don't know how it works, but I know this, the Spirit of God will give you rest. And again, I don't know how it works, and all I can go back to a personal experience in my own life when my dad died. First funeral I had ever done, the first. He had said to me the funeral before that, he said, do you want to do this one? I said, no, mine's coming. I didn't realize how true those words were 4 months later. He preached a funeral. And he died on a Sunday night. Lord took him home to heaven. Monday night, no sleep. Tuesday night, no sleep. Said, Lord, funeral's on Thursday, first funeral. My own father's. I need some sleep, Lord. Actually, it was Monday night. And Tuesday morning, Lord, I need some sleep. Would you just please give me some sleep? Do you know what? The Holy Spirit of God came and ministered to my soul. The two best nights of sleep I have ever had in my entire lifetime were Tuesday night and Wednesday night, the nights before my dad's funeral. The two best nights of sleep I have ever had. I don't know how he did it. I just know this. The Holy Spirit promises to come and bring rest to our souls. And you know what? He did it. You want to talk about rest. And so sometimes I'm sharing words, but I'm sharing words that I have come to experience are true. We have the rest from the Holy Spirit of God. In Isaiah chapter 26... No parents are in a hurry to go up and get their kids, are they? Take them home. Isaiah 26. In Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Speaking about God. those whose mind is stayed on God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Do you understand why a good verse to memorize would be this? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Why? Because when I don't understand it, if I keep my mind focused on God, I don't have to understand it. I just have to know that from the everlasting God, there's everlasting strength. And I'm going to keep my eyes focused on Jesus Christ, because it's difficult to focus on people sometimes. Admit it. It's difficult to keep a focus on the preacher, because sometimes the preacher gets up in the pulpit, he hoots and he hollers and he tells it off and he says, he has no idea what I've just come through this week. And don't you think that doesn't echo through my mind sometimes? You preacher up here, you have no idea what some of these people went through this past week. But I still have to preach, thus saith the Lord. But I know this, God will give you rest and strength. When the preacher fails you, you know what? God will never fail you. When you need strength, keep your mind on him, because those who trust in the Lord will keep them in perfect peace. Oh, I got no better promise than that today. We get peace from the Holy Spirit, peace from trusting God. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And now notice this. And ye shall find rest for your souls. I put this down. There's rest from the Holy Spirit. There's rest from trusting God. And there's rest from walking in the old paths, or walking in the will of God. Folks, I don't understand all the trends in Christian circles today. But I know this. Following God and the things that are directly laid out in Scripture, you will find rest, because he promised it. And God says, in the old paths. There's nothing new under the sun. And if you look at church history, even over the last 30 years, there has been a cycle within the last 30 years, and we're just coming full circle again. And what happened 30 years ago, we're starting to happen all over again. And the Word of God still says, walk in the old paths. And I'm not saying that I have it all right, because I don't. But I simply know this. God says, walk in my Word, in the old paths, and I will give you rest. And I can't argue with the Word of God. I'd be a fool. Because when you start arguing with God, he says, you're not going to get my rest. When we just humbly walk in the paths of God and in submission to his word, he speaks to us. But when I fight against him, there's old paths. Walk in the will of God. There's rest. We read it also. John 16, verse 33, just to quote again, be of good cheer. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's a rest from Jesus Christ, and he promised us rest today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, we read this, to you who are troubled, rest with us. That's people saying that to other people. The Apostle Paul inviting the people, hey, come. Do you know what? When we meet together, we should, instead of fighting, we should be able to provide a little bit of rest for one another. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Rest. Isn't Paul saying, make an appeal to other people, come rest with me, come rest with us? We should be able to help one another to rest and relax. Well, these are aspects of rest for the people of God. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a child of God? John 1:12 says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans chapter 8, just real quickly, I'm coming down to the end. I'm just about at the end here. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? That's a definitive statement. In other words, there's no question. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are those that are the children of God. For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that ye may be also glorified together. Does the Spirit of God direct your steps? Can you honestly say in your life, yes, the Spirit of God is witnessing to my spirit that I am a child of God? Do you know that you're saved today? If you know that you're saved today, then this is for us. But if you're not saved, listen to me, there's no rest. But God says you can have rest if you'll call upon me to save you. Will you do that today? He wants to save you. He wants you to have his rest. But remember, Hebrews 3 and 4 says this, they entered not into rest because of what? Unbelief. Believe him at his word. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and so he suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary. 3 days later, he was buried and rose again from the grave. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe it and accept it for yourself. And he said this, you shall find rest unto your souls. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Closing hymn was going to be, far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls, or my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. You will never know the true words of that song unless you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you have, that's a song for us today. Father, we pray that there's one person here without Christ as their Savior. Help them to enter into that rest today. Help them, Lord, to know what it means to find rest to their souls. Save them, we pray. And Lord, we understand as thy people, we are hurting. There are a lot of people struggling with difficulties. Some we know about, but some others, Lord, are pretty good at hiding their pain and their problems. Help us, Lord, to minister to them and help them to rest with us. Thank you for this blessing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget about our service tonight at 6 p.m. Amos Mercy will be with us.